Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. Well, we about to get this thing rocking and rolling. The first week of May has come to an end. Welcome to the Sunday morning brunch. Now, first and foremost, I know everybody that's here in the kitchen has one. I know my brothers, a.k.a. my co-chefs that are here, they have one. But I'm going to start the show off first and get mine off first. Happy Mother's Day to Janet Powell, my mother. This is your day. I'll be seeing you soon. I know we got a big day planned for you. She said, oh, Ty, I don't want to go to a restaurant. There's a million people sitting in a restaurant. We ain't going to eat till like an hour or something. Don't worry. We made reservations anyway. So we're going to go out. I'll be checking you. I know you check in on me in the kitchen, so I'm sending my shout out first. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome to the brunch.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City chance for Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. And thank you to people that have actually been checking out our Facebook pages, Twitter pages. I've been getting responses also to the email, too. Continue to keep hitting us up at sportscitychefs@gmail. I've been getting email and keep doing what we're doing. I love it. I love it. To hear the response back after the show is great. So whatever you guys are doing, I would love to see y'all come in here and participate or come speak with us. But if you like the mix that we throw around here, if you like us yelling at one another, like the heat in the kitchen, hey, I love it too, man. So thank you, first and foremost, and happy Mother's Day. Shout out to everybody that's listening or will be downloading this, because I know everybody has one. If they're up in heaven, shout to our Father in heaven, or, you know, if people don't believe in that, you know. I'm sending everybody, Mom, a happy Mother's Day shout-out. Okay, so let me get into this show. Calling in by way of the Virginia region himself, we have Tommy B here. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm all right. I'm in a lot of pain right now. Happy Mother's Day to my mother, Margie Beard. I want to say a happy Mother's Day to my wife, Karen Beard, and to the mother of my daughter. Happy Mother's Day, Christina DeWitt. I hope you all three have a good Mother's Day.
That's what's up. See, there you go. That's what I knew he could do. I knew he could come to the kitchen and have a good startup. You know what I'm saying? And he's in pain. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know that he was hurt. So, you know, he's doing this while, you know.
I have a pinched nerve in my neck.
Oh, my goodness.
My head is killing me.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for a city. I really do, man. But I don't even want to put too much pressure on him, because today may be a big day for Tommy. I'm hoping everything goes according to plan. But this is a big day, man. And it could be a mix of emotions today. It's gonna be a mix of emotions. So I'm gonna try my best to, like, you know, spoon feed this on his plate as best as I could. I'm not feeding him, but I'm gonna spoon it on his plate as best as I can. Tommy, I guess I'll set it off. Oh, no. Okay. We got it ready to go. We got calling in from the Southwest region of the United States of America. We have Mr. Silver in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Pretty early. Waking up feeling good. Just, you know, like you said, reiterate the Mother's Day wishes to everyone out there. Maggie Webb, Kim D'Artes, mothers and mothers of mine. Just you know, wish them to the best days. You know, from here on out, it doesn't matter if it's Mother's Day or not, just wishing, you know, the best days. And, of course, the mother of my children, Samantha and Shauna, just, you know, happy Mother's Day to them and hope those ladies have a good day today. Other than that, let's get the show cracking.
No doubt. Look, they built some sweet things today. I hope they got some big things planned for y'all ladies today. Yeah, I know I got some work cut out for me, doggone, today. Okay, so first and foremost, I don't know where to begin. You know what? But I'll get this out of the way. You know what? No, I'm gonna save that for me and potatoes. I won't. I was gonna go straight to Vegas, but I'll leave Vegas alone for now. Tommy, I'm gonna cheer you up. I'm gonna help you get good in this kitchen. Your caps get even in D.C. no less, taking out the Penguins. Your thoughts on the Capitals and the crazy thing, Sports City? I'm gonna let y'all in on me and my brother's relationship. You know, he said, "Ty, it's gonna be a busy day for me." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because all of this stuff comes on at the same time." He said, "I got the Caps, I got the Nats, and everything else." I'm like, "Just take your time." I was like, "Take your time." He's like, "Get on my nerves." I said, "I feel like they set up the schedules on my behalf, too, when my teams play like this. So I understand wholeheartedly where he's coming from. But at least in this form, his Capitals get to live another day." Tommy, your thoughts with the Caps actually surviving up against the Penguins another game?
This is the best I've seen us play since we clinched the playoff first. And that counts even when we blew out the Flyers. I think we have actually woken up. Now, we got a big series. We got a big game going into, I believe the next one's Tuesday night, where we have to win. It's up in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh better hope and pray they win that. Because if they don't, I don't see Ovechkin in orbit and losing that game at Game 7. So Pittsburgh better finish it. We were aggressive. We were very aggressive. Chasing down the puck. Shooting this time. We just didn't look like it the rest of the series. This game, we actually shot the puck, went with it, missed it. We went after it, got it, scored. This is, like I said, this is the best I've seen them play in a long time since we won that clinched and won the President's Cup.
In which they held Pittsburgh to a goal. And I think that's a tall order, especially the way that Pittsburgh's been playing, because not only have Tommy faced them, well, my Rangers got bumped. Playing with a team that's been coming out the gate with a mission. So I say, well, every team in the playoffs has a mission to try and get that Stanley Cup. I think this is a tough task. One, Ovechkin got involved. Then a point was scored also. Assist of that nature, too, to Oshie. Do you think that Ovechkin could still have a hand in this situation to make a difference? And some of these games in the postseason for the last couple of years, Ovechkin is, I don't want to say fell asleep, because he's a needed component out there on the ice. They need him to, do what he does. You know what I'm saying? As much as the 6'3 frame of this guy brings out there, he's an offensive freak. Do you think he could actually keep this going up against a hot Pittsburgh Penguin team?
Yeah, and I misspoke. I said orbit. I meant Oshie. Sorry, Sports City.
Okay. Okay.
I do. I really do. I mean, like you said, it's going to be tough up there in Pittsburgh. But if we keep our head on straight and play like we did last night, we can win that. And then
Okay. Throw
all hats on the table, Game 7, anything can happen. And it's in D.C.
Right. I was just going to say that. You got to go up there and get one, because they already got one on you guys' ice out there in D.C. So you're going to have to make this happen to get past it. Now, if they don't, the reoccurring theme year after year, and I don't hold anything against Ovechkin, is that he can't get it done in the postseason and how much pressure is on the guy. Do you think it'll be fair if they don't get this in Game 6, or do you think it's justifiable now that, he's actually played up against a lot of these top teams in the Eastern Conference and still hasn't been able to accomplish the feat?
No. I mean, he's done. I mean, there's a lot of players that's never won and they did so. I mean, look at Charles Barkley in the NBA, Dan Marino in the NFL. I mean, hey, it happens. Everybody can't get a ring. I mean, I'm just hoping he gets one. If it's not in D.C., it's somewhere. I mean, he keeps getting all these MVPs and everything. It looks like he's getting another one this year. So, I mean, I'm sure he would love to trade that MVP in for a ring. But, hey, everybody can't get one.
Well, Obi, this is what you do, right? Since he said if not in D.C., you know, find out what your agent could do, get you to New York and put on a blue shirt. And not the Islanders blue. Put on the Royal blue, you know. Come and be a blue shirt. That if he don't want it, I'll take it. I don't feel it's fair. And just the topic that Tommy hit on, it happens in every sport that you have people that, you know, fall short or don't have the legit pieces to put it together to get to a final, regardless if it's the World Series, whether it's the NBA Finals, whether it's the Super Bowl, or whether it's the Stanley Cup Final. You know, just things. It's a team sport. And I actually don't like it because they put so much pressure on him. And you know he's doing everything that he can, whether he's resting at the wrong time and as soon as they lose, they put the camera on him. It's like, wait, is he robotic? Does he not have oxygen going in him? Is he mechanical? So give him a break. Give him a break. But I'm not giving him a break right now. I need him to go out there and fight Pittsburgh. At least make this a series. At least push it to a game seven so we all can sit at the edge of our seat and see what happens in a game seven, especially on their ice. Because then if they lose in a game seven at home, then you know, I feel like they have a legit shot. This is a tough situation for them to go on Pittsburgh and get it done. Okay. Now, I'm going to sit on that. I really want to go to it so bad. Tommy, now we actually talked about this situation on Friday with the Nationals going into a very big series in Chicago. Your thoughts on how the Cubs are playing great baseball right now, off to a 23-6 start. They are only the ninth team to get this done. They are playing above everybody in the league right now. Can you guys get it done? This was actually something, like I said, we talked about this Friday to see where you guys would be at this point. And they could potentially get swept today. Your thoughts on the Cubs and what the Nationals need to do differently. I mean, granted, and I do give you, you know, some ground. The Cubs have been walking the crap out of Bryce Harper. I can't believe the numbers that they have on this. I think he's gotten 7 walks in the past 2 days. 7. They are not letting him hit the ball at all.
He's got 7 walks in this series, I believe.
Right. Right. So they're not letting him get involved at all. But your thoughts on this situation?
He actually crushed the ball last night or yesterday evening that if it would have been typical weather, that ball would have hit left this ballpark and hit this, I guess it's Wrigley Street or whatever it is. But with the wind blowing like it was, it held it into the ballpark. The Cubs are playing good, but they're getting balls that are dropping. I mean, they're getting balls that are being crossed and going right to players. They're going to cool off. I mean, there's a play. I know people are crushing Bryce for not running. I mean, he ran after the ball, but anybody that knows the way the ballpark is figured and built down the lines, both definitely down the left field line, right field line where Bryce is, the foul line is so close to the wall. Now, this is where I actually like where Bryce has matured. Now, yes, this is what's lost the game. A younger Bryce Harper would have put his body out there and ran into the wall. And then he could have possibly been hurt and been out for who knows how many months or weeks. Yeah, it was close to being fouled. It's hard to tell. That's why, I mean, when Dusty reviewed it, I was like, there's no way they're changing this. But the Cubs are getting every break right now. It's not going to happen. They're going to start pulling off here, and the balls that fall in are going to be outs or they're going to go foul. But, hey, I'll say this now. I don't see us winning tonight today just because we're not pitching Strasburg. We're saving him for, I think, Monday against Detroit. We got Roark pitching tonight. Now, I know Roark's pitched good against the Twins. He pitched good the game after. I don't see it. I'm hoping the weather's nice, so if they actually do pitch to Bryce, he can get a hold of one and see what happens, and if some of these other players can come around. But, hey, we played good up until we played. We've even played good against Chicago. It's just the balls are dropping in, and the one game, Friday's game, they just hit more home runs than we did.
Okay, granted, if you score five runs, it's like you're in a typical situation to win games, but Chicago comes out and puts up eight yesterday, so I don't know what it is. More or less, it is the bats at the plate. And this is one thing that I do want to pick on. Do we look at it as a situation in front of the National League Central where these teams get hot year after year, where the Cardinals come out with a 100-win season last year? Hell, there were three other teams in that division that won over 94 games. You know what I'm saying? So is it the division, or is it just the play of the Cubs at this time, or last year was it the play of the Cardinals, making the difference? I don't know, and I don't want to make it look like I'm disliking what's going on in the Central. But, you know, year after year, continually, if somebody's sitting atop the division and, bottom feeding and basically taking care of business. But I can't really look at that, you know. I got to kind of, devil's advocate, play the fence, if you will. Do you think it's the division, or do these teams deserve their respect on what they're doing out the gate?
I mean, it's respectful, but, St. Louis isn't playing like St. Louis. I figure St. Louis be playing like they are. Pittsburgh's doing exactly what Pittsburgh does every year about this time. Wait till after the All-Star break and watch it don't even look like the same Pittsburgh team. It happens every year. But like I said, you wait. This stuff, the Cubs are playing good. The ball's dropping like it should for them and everything else. Wait until the ball stops dropping like it is. And that Billy Goat, the Billy Goat takes over the curse. You watch. It's coming.
Okay. Don't do that. I don't want to see the curse. I like people breaking them curses, man. I'm not even going to lie. I can't stand the Red Sox, and I wanted them to break that, the Bambino curse out there, and they finally got it done. You know what I'm saying? But let me get Nacho involved. I don't know if you want to feast on some baseball right here, Nacho.
No problem. I'll get into the Chicago Cubs, and again, this is a team that prior to the Arizona Diamondbacks coming to Arizona, the lovable losing Cubs was a team that I watched growing up. So this is a team that I've seen, in my younger days, start off pretty good and then end off very slow, like Tommy said. And in the past few years, there have been teams that do that traditionally. The Cubs last year, I thought they sustained it throughout the year. Maybe that, the end of the year, they could have, had a little bit more, sustainable. But this year, I think this is something different. This team is on a ride. They've got a starting pitcher, 6-0, that has an ERA under 0.90. The guy is just pitching tremendously well. If there's a team out there, Nationals is one of the teams. They've got a team, some hitters that I believe can hit off Arrieta, and they can make this interesting game. I just don't believe it'll happen. So Chicago's on a roll. Them slowing down or cooling off, so to speak. We talk about the Golden State Warriors and their nine losses. This is a team in Chicago that has played throughout the course of this year. While every other team in the league has double-digit losses, they're still hovering around six. This is a team that is doing what they need to do, whether the ball is dropping in the right spot, whether or not they're getting the right rolls or you know, it's rolling right instead of left, however it stays foul instead of fair, whatever you want to call it, they're winning. So even if they cool off, you know, in the next, 31 games, what are they, 15-15? Or 15-16, 16-15. I mean, they're still tremendously better than anyone else in the league, in my opinion. So right now, this is, Chicago's, in early May, this is Chicago's, division to lose right now. But, again, wait till the All-Star break and some other things start popping off. But if Arrieta continues to do the things he's doing and this team continues to score, I went back and looked since April 19th until now, they have only scored under five runs in one or two games. It's five runs every game, and some of them 16 runs, 11 runs, 9 runs, two back-to-back games yesterday and Friday, 8 runs apiece. This team can score, and this team's got great pitching. So cooling off, I believe it. I mean, I wouldn't – as much as I would love to see it, I wouldn't believe this team can go, in the next, set of games, would it be 46-12? I don't know, but it wouldn't shock me to see that.
I can't wait till they come to D.C. and play. I believe it's the end of June or it might even be August, but I know they come in for three. I want to see what happens then.
I mean, do you think it'll make a difference? They've only lost 6 games. Does it really make a difference where they play at? I can care less if they're in front of that Ivory or if they're down in front of the president. Like, for them to get 6 losses, they are playing good ball right now, Tommy.
Look who they played, though.
They can't pick the schedule.
Cincinnati a bunch of times. I mean, hell, Cincinnati had a no-hitter going to the 7th. Jesus. Only Cincinnati could lose that game. So, I mean, I'm not taking nothing away from them. But
– right.
Watch to see what happens.
But this is actually what I was talking about. Is it a situation where we look at the NL Central and pick on it in that manner? I didn't want to, make it look like that. You know what I mean? So what it is, like I said, they can't pick their schedule. They have to kind of, do as much as they can while they're out there. That's how I feel.
I mean, I understand the schedule, but they played the Giants. They played the Mets. They played the Cardinals. And they played the Diamondbacks. I know we talk crap about, but they play teams that are good. They haven't just been running through the Reds and the Braves and the Padres and nobody. They're running through all the teams in their wake. It's not just the worst teams that they're beating. They're beating everyone.
Okay. I did want to get that out there. One last baseball topic, and I missed it Friday to address it because I, was running through everything that we had to get out there on the round table. Thursday night, the San Francisco Giants hosted the Colorado Rockies. Now, I'm going to admit, when we actually did the buffet to start off the season and speaking on some of these teams, I was actually looking at the Rockies on a rebuild situation, so on and so forth. The Rockies are a 500 ball team right now, in which, in this game that they played Thursday, they scored 13 runs in an inning. 13. In which, and I love to see the highlights, so on and so forth. When the Giants finally closed the inning, the crowd went crazy. So I can only imagine sitting through that and knowing you paid a good – listen, you're not paying – unless you're in the bleachers or something, you're paying a low cost or whatever. But if you're paying for a regular seat, you paid a handsome amount. And watching your team get clubbed like that, I mean, there's nothing you really can do. But, 13 runs in the inning, that was something I've not seen in a while. But I did have to get that one out there. I don't know if you guys caught that game while it was going down out there in the NL Central. Shout out to the Rockies, man. I do got to give y'all some credit because a lot of people aren't really talking about you other than Story, because Story's been hitting the crap out of the ball. They have another hitter out there in Colorado as well that's actually being compared to the start that, Bryce Harper had coming out of the gate as well. I mean, can the Rockies keep it done. Or no, actually, at this point, they're a game or two under 500 as well. So I apologize for that as well. But knowing what they've been able to do up until this point, especially having a 13-run game, 13-run inning. They had 17 runs in the entire game. I had to throw that one out there. Anything that you guys would like to say before we get away from that, if you guys did see that situation?
Yeah, and I actually got an alert through my one app, and I swore to God, I thought it said in San Francisco, and I swore to God I misread it. So I was like, there's no way that's in San Francisco. That's got to be in Colorado. Because, I mean, we've seen that back in when they first opened the ballpark with the Shed and all them boys, Galarraga and all that. I mean, they were putting up that number in that ballpark out there. But, I mean, I was shocked. I mean, the Rockies are a lot better than what I thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
West, the AL West, I don't know. Right now, I'm just leaving that division alone. Because I thought San Francisco would win that big, would run away with the way the Dodgers. But I still, if Colorado keeps up what they're doing, that could be a three-team race, I really think, with Colorado, San Francisco, and L.A. But, I mean, that's right now the only three teams I see that could possibly win that. But if you ask me right now to go out on a limb, I still look for San Francisco to win that division. I really do.
Not to anything that you like to say, this is your division.
I mean, we can look at this division and realize that from 1-4 in the NL West is a smaller gap than 1-2 in the NL Central and 1-2 in the AL Central. This is a division that is so tight-knit. You can say three teams if you want, but it's a five-team race, man. You got 13 wins, 2-14 wins, a 15 and a 17 wins. This team right here, this division right here is stacked. Whether you want to, like we said with the last division, whether it's the division or if it's the teams, I think it's more or less a mixture of both. The identities of these teams have seemed to be somewhat lost. I know that the Giants had Lincecum pitching. He was reaching up to 91 the other day. So if he comes back, who knows what this team could do. But to me, this is a division, Tommy, I know he likes the three teams, but to me, we could possibly count out San Diego, but them only being 3.5 back from first place, who knows. But right now, this is such a wide-open division. It's way too early to call. It may be too early to call in June, in July. It's that close. So I don't think any team – I think every team feels right now they have a chance to win this division, regardless if they're in 1 or 5.
Fair enough. I just want to make sure we got that out there because, it is some good ball. I did want to talk about, this situation that's going down in the Bronx with how the Yankees aren't playing great coming out of the gate, but I don't want to pick on that situation at all because I still feel like if the Yankees, when it gets warmer, because it's been quite cool out here in the 50s, you know what I'm saying? Haven't seen the 60s yet, and I don't want to see it. I don't. I'm not a fan of that sun like that. I'm not. But it's going to happen, and I think the Yankees can actually warm up with the weather as well. If not, there are some questions that they do have with, Joe Girardi, things of that nature, especially with the pitching that they're searching for. The pitching has not been getting it done. They did get one up against the Red Sox, and this is one of Javi's last stands in Yankee Stadium. He actually got thrown out the game the other day, but I don't feel like that's this work.
You said that. You brought that up. I'm going to speak on it. I do not blame David Ortiz for going off. If that had been me, I'd have done the same thing. There is no way in hell, and I know it's Sunday, but that was a strike. Okay? I'd have done the same thing. And when I saw that, I thought of George Brett coming running out. I believe it was the, 86, 87 divisional game in Yankee Stadium. That's who I thought of, was George Brett. There is no way. That umpire needs to go back to school to learn strikes and balls. There is no way that was a strike.
Especially when you see a strike like that, this is what I'm talking about with Tommy too. When you see a strike like that, at least let the catcher catch it like a little bit outside the zone and bring it back. He was digging that out of the dirt. Like, he literally had his glove cupped toward the ground and grabbing it at the dirt, and that's the strike zone. So literally the strike zone is at his shoes. Literally. So I understand where Poppy comes from, and knowing I'm quite biased to watching his entire career. I watched Ortiz from day one when he was drafted until his, you know, stardom really stormed for him getting to Boston. Of course, everybody knows that I have to know where he was drafted because he was a twin first. So watching Poppy in his last season and him blowing up and then making a big deal out of this situation and his, you know, last couple of times being in Yankee Stadium, yeah, I understand. I understand. But, you know, some of these umps want to be in the way. Some of these umps need that attention. Some of these umps want to get their 10 seconds of fame. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Throwing the skipper out and throwing Poppy out is another thing. What did you say?
I said what? You mean like the NBA refs?
Hey, we're getting there. I'm moving. I'm moving. Sports City. I'm trying. Okay. First game of the evening. Let me get there. Toronto takes advantage of an unfortunate situation for the Miami Heat. Hassan Whiteside leaves with an injury, but in the same token, they also lose Valanciunas, being the Raptors. So he rolled his ankle, and he was playing a great game down there in South Beach, in which I don't know what the heck happened, but it was like Kyle Lowry really couldn't find himself in Toronto at home in front of his home crowd. Every bucket he hits, people are screaming for him. He goes down to South Beach and catches wreck and is playing great, going, you know, back and forth with Wade. So with the Raptors actually taking the lead back in this series, getting back their home court advantage. One, I want to see how you guys feel about the game. Two, how fortunate this situation is of a sprained knee, similar to what Steph Curry has. And we'll get to the Golden State situation soon, too. But with Hassan Whiteside going down, can this Heat team survive without one of their bigger pieces? I have to claim them as a bigger piece. I can't even just say a piece. Like, without Bosch being out, now Hassan Whiteside is out. They have to look to another big to get it done while Hassan, you know, gets viewed, you know, in the manner of if his right knee holds up or not and he can get back in time to help this team. Nacho, you know what? I'll go to you first.
You know, this is a game, you know, again, you don't want to see two guys get hurt. Real quick, though, someone get on the phone and call Cleveland. Let them know they got to wait a little longer. Miami's in a real series now. Secondly, the other thing is to see Whiteside go down and then, you know, see Valanciunas go down, it was kind of like tit for tat. It was a thing where you would sit there and you go, okay, well, they lose this guy, and now Valanciunas is out. So this is a series. Or this is, you know, they're kind of evenly matched, or so to speak, how you would play that out. So to me, it was a huge loss for Miami, but then Valanciunas going down to kind of evened it out. So for that game in and of itself, it was a loss. But for the series going, if they can get Valanciunas back and they've got to sit Whiteside for any amount of time due to injury, this is hard for Miami Heat. Again, they have other key players. Again, we're not going to disregard the fact that they have Dwayne Wade and Goran Dragic has been playing, and they've got some other guys out there that have been able to do, you know, Duel Dang and stuff like that, do their thing. The problem is you need that guy, that youth, that springboard he had. He was able to get up there and block some shots and do what he was doing for them. So to me, it is a big loss. I don't take anything away from the team itself and, you know, next man up and yada, yada, yada. But this is a huge loss for them. They need him back on the court immediately to help deal with this team. Again, with the Kyle Lowry situation, you know, This could all be boiled down to me to a simple mentality. Sometimes in certain situations, some players, I don't know if this is Lowry's, you know, mental or whatever, but this is the only thing I can guess about, because the kid didn't, you know, drink some magic juice. He didn't do anything special, I don't believe. you know, chakras or witchcraft before this game to suddenly be able to shoot like that and make the ball go in. To me, it's something mentally where some people thrive off of the negativity, thrive off of shutting down the opposing team's fans, shutting them up, making them quiet, and that just drives them a little more than, you know, 15,000 people cheering for you. The confidence you get shutting people up sometimes, I believe, weighs heavily on players, and they build off of that, and they grow from that. So to me, that's the only thing I could put the you know, why he didn't play well in Toronto and now he's playing well in Miami. It would just be that little thing to me, just being able to you know, just that feeling of shutting down the opposing court, the fans, the other team, yada yada yada. It just I think in some way, shape, or form, I think the mentality of Lowry, is what definitely helped him out. Because other than that, you know, like I said, he didn't do anything special. He didn't do anything crazy. And again, there is no water bottle with Mike's magic juice that he drank before the game started. You know, and secondly or thirdly or lastly, before I get away from it, non-basketball, not having pretty much little to do with the game of basketball itself, with the amount of disrespect, the amount of lack of class I saw from Dwayne Wade last night when the Canadian national anthem is being sung, for you to show disrespect, turn your back, to take shoot around, and to not show respect to another country, regardless of the fact that it's your country, that you was born there or whatever, you need to show respect. And the fact that they let him get away with that, it was not talked about, and the fact that he was able to do that, it really shocked me. I thought this was a man in Dwayne Wade who was of high class, high value, high integrity, and to me, he almost washed all of it away last night.
And that's something that I would have missed, and I remember that. I let Tommy speak on the situation before I started to give the breakdown, especially toward Wade, because I was actually going to show him some gratitude on the way that he played last night, because Wade literally tried to carry the entire load by himself, and he can't. He can't. I mean, as much as he did in Game 2, and especially in the Game 3 right now, he damn near had 40 points. I mean, they actually put the same comparison of him on the run that he had in his first NBA final run in 2006, where he basically carried Shaq and company, because it wasn't Shaq really doing too much, but they actually got a ring regardless. Wade almost having a 40-point effort wasn't enough, because it was matched by Lowry's 33-point effort as well. And just seeing Dwayne Wade do that, I'm not going to lie. I love and respect Dwayne Wade. I'm not going to say I don't like him. I love what he does on the floor. But for him to do that during the Canadian national anthem, and I understand that that's not his country, but still, just come on. It's 3 minutes, man. It's 3 minutes. You get 20 minutes to go out there and get your shot off, so on and so forth, way like that. A lot of people are going to view you different, just like Nasir threw out there. I feel a certain way about it, but I'll get into the breakdown after Tommy goes. Tommy, your thoughts on the situation where the Heat fell short, especially with the injury that they're suffering at this critical point in time, and you know, noting, like, you know, Nacho just threw out and Shaq likes to say to others, who will be the big guy that has to step up and, you know, in place of Whiteside while he's nursing his knee?
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Ty, who texted you and told you the Heat would lose soon if Whiteside was out for the rest of the game?
It was you.
This series, if Whiteside does not come back, this series is over. Miami has nobody in the paint now that can rebound, block shots, protect the rim. The only way I see Miami winning this with Whiteside out is if Dane shows up and plays consistently. Where the hell does he go? I mean, there's games where he'll come out and he'll play good. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, he's back. Next game, he'll disappear. Hey, Joe Johnson, can you show up? You're not in Phoenix anymore. So start playing ball. You're in Miami. Play ball. You're not in Phoenix. Stoudemire, where the hell are you at? what the hell are you even at? Still in New York, because if so, come down, take 95 South, straight down into Miami. Because you need to show up if Whiteside's out. Now, I want to ask you something, Ty. Is Buzz officially out? Like, totally can't play it at all?
Yes.
The Heat and Bosch have claimed that he is not eligible to play at all in the playoffs, in which I don't want you to get hot, Tommy, so I'm going to try and be funny about this. At least Josh McRoberts got a block shot. He got a block shot in the game. So he
because I was thinking maybe he suits up and surprises everybody. I mean, that's the only way if Whiteside's out. And right now, what I've seen through the interview with Whiteside, they're still waiting on the MRI. And I was talking to some buddies of mine that live down south, down in the Miami area, to see if they heard anything else. There's nothing being said. The MRI supposedly has not come out yet. But if Whiteside's out for good, this means Dwayne Wade still has to put more on his shoulder. Dank needs to play consistently. Now, I do not see Lowry shooting like that again. And, I mean, I don't know what the Cleveland Cavaliers did, if they put a host or something on so they can get Toronto, because LeBron is so damn scared to death to play Miami, and that's the only way he can get to the finals. Because we all know Cleveland does not want Miami. We all know that. Because they know damn well he cannot beat them in Miami. I trust Miami getting a win in Cleveland more than I do anything else. He is scared to death. He can say what he wants and say this, say that. Oh, it'd be cool to play Miami. Bullshit, you lying sack of shit. You don't want Miami. You don't want Wade. You scared to death to play them because of what happened the last, was it, three times you went down there? You got slapped. You're praying to God you get Toronto.
In which, I'm going to throw this one out there. Amari Stoudemire, one of the backup bigs that they have, played 4 minutes yesterday. Four.
Retire. Please retire. Or better off, go out to Phoenix to play with them, because then you could still disappear. It's not like anything would matter.
And Ty, the Amari Stoudemire and his back are still in Phoenix, so that's where he's been. He was never in New York. I don't know what time he saw in New York, but he was never there. He was the best Stoudemire we've ever seen was in Phoenix. He hurt his back, and we've never seen him since. So that guy's been long gone for years. You know, anyone who ever had any hope in that guy doing anything in Miami, I don't know what you were looking at. But it's, you know, that guy and he's done for. So, yeah, retire, do whatever you got to do. It's ridiculous. And Tommy, I mean, before the series, it was all Dwayne Wade. So now Whiteside's out. Now they're going to lose. So I thought Dwayne Wade was the man. He was going to carry it off.
He was
but now he can't do it.
And Dwayne Wade's
before the series started, you didn't say nothing
you're
about
the one
Whiteside.
Said
he was all
gold.
About Wade. It was all about Wade.
Well,
it was all
Wade,
about him.
You need someone to protect
that
thing, too. But I ain't doing that fucking neck and head. At least I show up and have fucking balls.
Now you got an excuse.
Former fucking Green Bay fucking cheese head, Louis. You hide like a little bitch.
Now you got an excuse. I was here when they lost after, by the way. But now you got an excuse. So when Miami loses, I ain't tripping though. But
I just
thought it was funny.
Fucking hold you, sorry, piece
I
of
just
shit.
Thought it was funny that when the series started and Game One played, I didn't hear not one word you say about Whiteside. All I heard was Dwayne Wade is the man. He carried his team, and they're going to go to Cleveland. Now Whiteside's hurt, and it's a different story. That's all I'm asking.
I'm gonna say this. Look, I don't want Wade to carry this load by himself because as much work as Wade has done for this Heat team to get to this point, this team has been doing it together. Now, I agree with Tommy. For Luol Deng to play damn near 40 minutes, listen, he was a minute away from 40 minutes of play. He only scored 4 points. 4 points. They are paying. Do you know Luol Deng is getting paid handsomely? He's not getting one of those league minimum. Who only getting paid handsomely? Joe Johnson. I cannot stress this anymore, man. Joe Johnson, if you shoot the – I don't know a team that would be mad if you shot the ball, Joe. Joe, if you shot the ball, I don't think people would be like, oh, you know, Joe's missing today. Like, what? Like, dude, you want one of the best trigger fingers in the league, and you won't shoot the ball. You damn near put up 40 minutes of play, 10 points, while Wade has to score 40 and still – and you listen, and you guys lost by – four? You guys lost by four at home. Somebody got to help them. Somebody. Now, I know they got Richardson off the bench, another shooter. He didn't come. Well, I can't say he didn't come, but he didn't get the shots up that he usually does because he's a three-point shooter. He had 1 point, and that was at the free throw line. Of course, you can't score a one-point field goal. Dragic didn't have one of those enormous nights like he did out there in Toronto or in the previous series as well. He came up with 12, but some – Joey or Luau, I look at you two first because you two start. You guys, this is the crazy part. You guys have more minutes logged in the game than Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade beat you guys out combined. Combined effort. And you guys are at home in Miami. You guys are at home in Miami. You guys are supposed to be comfortable now. It's tough because it's playoff basketball. This is the same way that we looked at what Kyle Lowry's output was in the first game, having a 3-for-16 effort and having 7 points be scored of that nature. But this is two players now. This is two players that they actually look at the plus minus while Joe Johnson has been there, how good the Heat team has been. On the floor yesterday, his plus minus was negative 15. Joe Johnson, you didn't help contribute anything. You didn't help contribute anything. Luau Deng, even if you're going to score 4 points, help me do something else. You only had two rebounds outside of that. Two steals and a block, I'll give you that. Two steals and a block, okay. That's good, but 4-2? And we're paying you millions of dollars to play ball? Are you kidding? Look, I don't know, but this
I'll
say
this, Deng better show up. He wants to wear that Miami jersey next year because there's a certain free agent that everybody's going to want, KD. We know he'll show up and play in the playoffs. So, Deng, if you want a playoff spot next year, unless it's somewhere else, you better show up because Pat Riley, we all know, will do what he has to do to get whoever. I told you all before that he would get Joe Johnson. He got Joe Johnson. So, Deng and Johnson, if you want a job in the Southeast next year, you better show up because Pat Riley won't play. He'll do what he has to do to get that certain free agent that's from the DMV down in South Beach.
And speaking of Cleveland, when we were talking of them, the thing is Miami's got to take a page from their book as much as, you know, we found on Cleveland. J.R. Smith, as much as, you know, certain people, chefs hate this guy, he's got the ultimate green light like we heard. He's got the fluorescent green light. He just shoots as many as he wants. That's what they need to do and tell Joe Johnson. I don't know if he's been given the green light. I don't know if he's been told not to shoot. I don't know if it's him being hesitant. But he needs to have the comfortability. He needs to have that knowledge that even the star player, even the main, you know, LeBron James coming out and saying that about J.R. Smith, Dwayne Wade, whoever it is, Goran Dragic, whoever the guy is, whoever is in front of the cameras, they have to, you know, make it known or tell him behind cameras or whatever that he's got the green light. Like you said, he's got to take shots. He's got to continue to heave that ball up there because they're going to fall in more often than they're not when it comes to Joe Johnson. I believe the guy, he's still got a shot, and he still can pump it up there. So, to me, especially in a game that you lose by four, this isn't a game that you got thrumped by 20. This isn't a game that you got beat by 25 on your home court. You were down 4 points. There is everything in my being that says if Joe Johnson was out there pumping up shots and shooting the game, this might have been a different outcome. But the fact that he wasn't, the fact that, you know, Deng wasn't showing up, Stoudemire wasn't showing up, then you get Whiteside going down. You know, it's hard for one person to put it all on their shoulders and do it. So when you do that, I believe that Miami needs to do whatever it is. If it's getting Joe Johnson here, if it's getting, you know, and Deng's here, whatever it is, but they need to let those guys know that they are needed, whatever it is. Maybe they don't know or maybe they just don't feel it or whatever, but the talent is there. We've seen it been displayed before in the last series with Deng and Joe. So I believe that those guys can still do it, whether or not they can get the mentality or get the wherewithal to have their teammates push them to it is another story.
And I've actually ripped on that a little bit, and people may say I'm hating or dislike it, since hate is such a strong word, and I don't want to make it look like I'm hating, but J.R. Smith is playing excellent ball right now, but this is where the dislike comes in, right? He is playing the Atlanta Hawks. Now, Budenholzer, I don't know what's going on, Budenholzer, but you've seen the same dude, same team, same environment go down, right? And J.R. Smith licked y'all up last year so bad that you guys got swept last year. So wouldn't you make a change somewhere? They call it adjusting, making an adjustment, right? So his adjustment was, okay, we'll put Korver on the bench, have Korver come off the bench and start sparking, which Korver did. It started knocking down shots. But wouldn't you hide him on the defensive side of the ball? Defensive side of the ball, you got him being J.R. Smith, and he can't stay with J.R. Smith through the screens. Even if they're man-to-man, he can't D that crossover. That crossover looks so crazy in front of Korver. He made Korver fall. He made Korver fall. In Atlanta. Let's stop. Stop. Budenholzer, hide him. Hide Korver. That's your all-star. He was an all-star because he shoots the ball. You got to hide him. Like some of these coaches, man, they make some questionable decisions, so on and so forth. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. But I had to get that one out there. While the J.R. situation is out. Yes.
Do you believe in the Cleveland Cavaliers to continue shooting the ball like this? Because I don't.
Watch if they play Atlanta in the next round in the finals.
The Western Conference, watch and see if they make it to the finals, the Eastern Conference finals, or even the NBA finals. Watch this shooting disappear.
Mm-hmm. On that note, Tommy. For everyone who watched the 25 three-pointers and thought that was the greatest thing of all, that Golden State Warriors team would have put up 53-pointers. don't get it twisted. Atlanta Hawks let them shoot all them three, and they made them.
Right.
So let's not glorify the Cleveland Cavaliers as a great shooting team. I know they've been shooting well in that one game, but it's not as great as it is. I mean, keep it in the context. Like Ty said, they're playing the Atlanta Hawks.
Right. If somebody hits 53s in a game, I am not watching basketball. I am done. Like you can just take it away from me. I love this sport with all of my heart. But if somebody gets electrocuted like that, and I don't even want to throw that out what Charles Barkley went out there and said, but somebody start a fight. Get one of your 12 men to go out there and pick a fight. Somebody and pick the fight with LeBron. Like you got to. Or Steph, somebody got it. They're not lighting me up like that. There is no way. But just like you said, Atlanta, I don't know what it is. Like you guys can't defend the perimeter. That has to be the easiest thing. Force them inside and try and make stuff happen at the rim, even though LeBron dunks all over Horford. LeBron is dunking on Millsap. LeBron's dunking on Korver. Like, I've seen that happen. Like, you guys aren't going to close up the paint. Then get swept. Then get swept. Get swept right on out of here. That's the only way I could look at it right now. But, hey, stranger things have happened.
Hey, Ty.
I just don't know what – yes, sir.
I know we jumped on the Cleveland real quick, and I wanted to ask you guys a question because I know it's hindsight and it's 2020, but – in the playoffs last year and the playoffs this year, Cleveland Cavaliers with Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James on the court are 10-0, 4-0 last year, 6-0 this year. The question I'm having is if Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and LeBron James play against the Warriors last year, is LeBron James a champion? Or does the Warriors, what they did, no matter what, are they still winning? I know hindsight is 2020, we talk about it, but the fact still remains that with these big three, but these three players with Cleveland on the court in the playoffs, they haven't lost. And I know they've been injured the last couple of years, but when they're all together, they haven't lost. Can they stay healthy and run this through the end? Not undefeated, I'm saying win it all.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they go undefeated. If they do, that'd be the best run that we've seen in playoff history if they win 16 straight.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is the one thing that I'm going to throw out there that actually is building more fire as time goes on in my eyes. The Cavaliers are the forgotten story in the entire playoffs, people. In the entire playoffs, nobody is watching what Cleveland is doing right now. They have not lost a game. They are shooting the ball extremely well, and they have one of the top three players in the league. Top five, if you want to throw the names around like that. LeBron is still there. And nobody is worried about Cleveland that just won the Eastern Conference last year, dealt with Kevin Love getting his shoulder pulled out of the socket in that series up against Boston in the first round. Like, they had to go on without their $100 million power forward for the remainder of the postseason. And they have him there to add to the situation. Kyrie looks fresh. Kyrie looks fresh. Now, here goes the situation. More than likely, if they storm through the Eastern Conference, whichever guard that he may face, whether I'm going to do it by situation or circumstance. If Golden State gets there, it's Steph Curry. Steph Curry is nursing a hurt knee. He's nursing bad ankles already, limping to the playoffs already with a bad ankle. His ankle is bad already, and we already seen the braces that he has on the ankle. His knee is not great also. So they're saying that they're trying to hold him off for game four. I don't think so. I think Steve Kerr is pushing the button. Steve Kerr, you can try it if you want to. Steph Curry, I'm saying it. I know I didn't even hear the report. Steph Curry will be playing game four. I'm saying it. I guarantee. I bet you Steve Kerr will go on a limb trying to face a 2-2 situation. If not, then we all know game five, Steph will be back, and there'll be an Oracle, and his first shot, California, blow up off of the map. We already know that. But I already know he don't want Portland to look out. And I'm going to get to Portland. I swear I am. But that's one. Two, looking at the San Antonio situation. Tony Parker or Patty Mills, we can look at it however you want, right? And I'm doing this 1, 2, 3, however this may go down, right? The last time, whether it was in San Antonio or Cleveland, the last time that they played Kyrie Irving healthy, Kyrie Irving went off for 57 points against Tony Parker and Patty Mills. Picture if the lights are on in the postseason, if that does go down. I don't think they lock up Kyrie at all either. That's another one. Three, the situation with Oklahoma City, it arrives in them right now. If they could get from underneath this shadow right now, that's in itself. I really want to put it in front of the first two, whether it's Golden State or San Antonio as the guards to deal with. Because I actually, if the finals did go down that like that, I would love to see a Russell Kyrie matchup. I would love to, because that I got my popcorn ready. I got my popcorn ready if it were to go down like that. But they got to get out of their own way, their damn self. But for the guards that are mentioned right now with Steph, you know, he's looking good. Is he, you know, going through those two-on-two drills that he's having to try and be ready for these games, and then Steve Kerr says, you know what, we'll let him rest another day, so on and so forth. I don't trust it. Last year was Kyrie's knee. This year is Steph's knee. I don't know. But just like I'm saying, it's an underlying story situation. They're talking more about what the Warriors are doing. They're talking about more what the Spurs are doing. They're talking about all the other teams in the Eastern Conference below the number one seeded Cleveland team. Cleveland's getting talked less than Toronto or what Miami is doing, to be honest. Because they beat up on an eighth seed, swept them, and they're beating up on Atlanta right now. And Atlanta had a considerable lead in Game 3 and lost by double digits. Gave up 120. Are you serious? At home? They gave up 120 points? No, I'm not. Atlanta swept. I know that much. I will say that on there. Goodbye. It's over with. Okay.
Is that because?
No, I was going to ask somebody else to say about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, is that because who they played and it was so expected for them to sweep or to just dominate the number eight seed? And then again, Atlanta, who they haven't even sniffed a victory in the last two this season included three postseasons against Cleveland. So there's no need to talk about something that, quote unquote, we already knew was going to happen as where it pertains to the West. It's a crapshoot. And anyone under the number one seed in the East is a crapshoot. So you leave it be. You don't really. There's no really ruffles to feather. There's no real story in Cleveland. None of this to me is unexpected when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The only thing that I feel is unexpected with Cleveland is they're still healthy. That's the only thing I think that should be a story. So
there's a story in Cleveland. The story in Cleveland is they are not successful to win a title. That's the story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but right now there's no title to win right now. They're penciled in to the finals right now. They're penned in. They're penned in to the finals right now. So right now, to me, what it feels like is there's no story until the ECF comes or the finals come. When those two come, then we can start talking about Cleveland, because then it's in grasp, it's in reach to me. Right now, you mollywop the A seed expected. You're going against an Atlanta Hawks team that you've never lost or been unclear of. So I think that's why it gets kind of, swept under the rug when you've got knee injuries in Golden State. You got people winning on opposing courts in the Oklahoma City Spurs series. You got, Damian Lillard and the boys playing out there and winning. There's so much to talk about in the West that the expected in the East and in Cleveland is probably a last story.
I can't argue any point that you throw out there. I surely can't. You actually made me lose where I was going to go with that. Okay, that's what I was going to say. No. Here we go again. I got it right back. The AC, it wouldn't even been that bad if game one, if Reggie Jackson didn't pull that crap in front of that referee on them three straight plays and try to play selfish ball. I really thought Detroit would actually give Cleveland a fair shot. But Reggie Jackson doing that, and I feel bad because he's a Connecticut guy, even though I'm not a Husky. You know what I'm saying? But he's a Connecticut guy. If Drummond could hit a free throw, that series would have been different. It would have been different. But that ended up hurting them. Reggie Jackson wearing his emotions on his sleeve and where he came from in Oklahoma City, and I guess his experiences of being in the postseason with KD and Russ showed that he needed more than just him, but he thought it was just him. And Andre Drummond, he's going to have to be around a shooting coach. I'm sorry. All summer long, even if he does go to the Olympics and plays in the Olympics, you better have a free throw shooting coach with you. So, like, that's one. And right now, the defensive issues remain for the Hawks. Like, even their bigs in the paint with Millsap and Horford, I mean, they may block a shot here and there, but those aren't guys you look at to be like, yo, that's a Drummond or Dwight Howard or Ibaka or Anthony Davis or, back in the day, a Mecca Okafor or something like that. These guys are not contesting anything at the rim, let alone at the perimeter. Just like you said, Nacho, they are watching shots go up. Like, I'm picking up a foul, like not even a hard foul, like I want to make them think while they're shooting these shots. The Cleveland Cavaliers are shooting shots like it's practice. Like it's practice. How do you watch them not only get up a 25 shot or 25 made 3-point effort in a game, they come back around and hit 21 and tie the record which Golden State made just this year. In two games, in back-to-back games, you watch 46 three-pointers get hit. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There is no way I would go into practice. I would be like, yo, you got to keep your toes taped to the three-point line. Keep it taped right here. Don't move. Don't move. Or everybody from 1 through 3, small forward, shooting guard, and point guard, y'all don't freaking move. Don't move. And the big, y'all got to do what y'all got to do while they come to the paint. Contest a shot or pick up a foul, hey, however we draw it up, there's no way. I'm not buying that. I'm not. Tommy, anything else that you see around this, or do we get away from it?
Cleveland hasn't been tested yet. I mean, I was one with Ty that thought Detroit could do it, but then after I've seen game one with Reggie Jackson thinking he could do it by himself, I pretty much lost that. I actually thought Boston could give them a shot if they could have got by Atlanta. I think Boston could have possibly got a game or two against them. But I don't trust this Cleveland team shooting the ball like they are. Mm-hmm. I actually look for – if they play San Antonio, I look for San Antonio to win the whole thing. I really do.
Interesting stuff. Okay. So, speaking of which, because we're actually hiding it, like we haven't spoken on it like we need to. So, Nacho came to the kitchen the other day and said, red and black, red and black, red and black. And guess who showed up to play some ball? Guess who finally showed up and played some ball? The Portland Trail Blazers get a win up against Golden State, in which, let me do it the right way, Draymond Green actually had 8 three-pointers hit. Draymond Green and Klay Thompson tried to carry this team as best as they could. Klay went for 35, having a 50% shooting night from the field. Not even from three, from the field he had 50% shooting. So I tip my hat on what was done in that effect. But drop it down, drop it down, drop it down, drop it down. Dame Lillard is not playing around. He also went for an 3-point field goal made situation, going for 40 on Klay Thompson also. So this is actually getting enticing. Like I said, I don't know. I guaranteed it. I really feel like Steve Kerr is going to pull the trigger. Be like, you know what, we can't let these guys get any belief or their legs underneath them, but here goes something that actually saves the Warriors. Miles Plumlee. Or no, excuse me, I'm saying it wrong. I got you, brother. Mason Plumlee, if you don't get it together in this series, turnovers, shooting the ball crazy, can't hit free throws, looking like you're rattled up against Andrew Bogut. Andrew Bogut. I can't even think of Andrew Bogut locking up anybody in the league in the postseason. He had you befuddled more than Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, and you got out of that series. I don't get it, but you lucky your backcourt is saving you. These guys are probably one of the better stories in the postseason right now, which if you don't show up, you guys are going to see the exit, which more than likely everybody is seeing going to happen right now. But Portland, job well done, getting the win in a meaningful game, winning that game by double digits, no less, winning by 12 up against Golden State. Impressive out the gate. Tommy, your thoughts on this matchup? With Portland getting a win, 120 to 108.
I'm with you. Steph Curry's playing, what I guess it would be tomorrow, Tuesday, whatever it is. Steph's playing. After I seen him playing that 2-on-2 with the coaches and moving like he was, they were doing this with him, stretching him out, having him do different kind of exercises to see how he was. He's playing. Now get back to the game now. I'm not shocked Portland won this. I told y'all before the series started I wouldn't be shocked if they went back and they played and they won both games or at least one game in Portland. This Portland team plays better at home. They play with that swag. They just seem comfortable. The only thing about it I don't understand is why in the hell they got Rip City put on the uniforms. That is bad as Charlotte putting Buzz City on. I mean, put the damn name of your team on there, the Blazers. I mean, hell, what the hell's next for next year? Is Washington, my Wizards going to have a jersey to say Chocolate City? I mean, this is, I'm not shocked because I said I look for them to get a game. Or two, or both in Portland. They play better at home.
And that should be the story for everybody. But I can't say that. Learning from experience. Nacho, you called it red and black, red and black, red and black. You were screaming it. Your thoughts on the State Farm drop and dime point guard Dame Lillard? Finally coming to play a full game, like I said, in game two, he had that 17-point third quarter and fell asleep in the fourth, in which, in the fourth quarter, they had an interesting lead in this game three, and the Warriors actually tried to come back and make this a game, but they held them off and did what was necessary to get the job done. Your thoughts on this game?
I mean, you hit it on the head. You can't have Draymond Green and Klay Thompson put up 72 points, and the rest of your team do nothing. That's Golden State's problem. This is a team that people have come on this show and glorified it for going 12 deep. If you can go 12 deep, then why are two guys the only ones trying to win a game for you? That's the problem I see with Golden State right now. It's the only problem, and it's one problem that can be readily fixed because Mr. Steph Curry will play in game four, and this is a game that, you know, he'll definitely come back. And I can, like you said, I can see him out there with the two-on-twos, you know, shooting the ball, you know, taking step backs and dribbling. Yeah, he's coming out for game four. Sitting at my house watching Steph Curry sit on the sideline and watch Damian Lillard shimmy and shake and bust those three-pointers in people's eyes, not using illegal screens and not being wide open, and watching Steph Curry shake his head like, man, I wish I was out there. It excites me for game four. You know, nothing would shock me more if we see both these guys put up 50. Nothing would shock me if these guys put up 50, but this is going to be a game where I see Damian Lillard and Steph Curry go back and forth in game four. As it pertains to game three, this is a team in Portland who for the last seven quarters out of eight has beaten the Golden State Warriors, albeit for one and a very meaningful fourth quarter. This team could be up, 2-1 right now. The problem is they got to get it together in the fourth quarter and on the road. I do expect them to win tomorrow, or I believe it's tomorrow when they play again. I don't, you know, make it a 100% assured, you know, victory. But to me, I think Portland does play well at home. They got help from everyone. You got three guys above 20 in your starting five. Got, you know, you got another double digits off the bench. Mason Plumlee, you got to do more than 17 minutes. And you got to do more than getting beat off the dribble and getting put in your face. And you're not doing enough to help this team, especially when it comes to on the road. So, I went with Black and Red because, Damian Lillard, and I have so much faith and love for that guy and watching him do what he's done and then watching him take the ridicule and the memes and everything at the beginning of the year of how he was by himself and they would go from, first to worst and all this other stuff, and they would be at the bottom of the barrel. And the fact that they're here now, they've beat the defending state champ or defending national champion or NBA champions. Now they got to do it again three more times. But again, this is a great series, and of course, I'm with the both of you. Steph Curry plays in game four, and I expect it to be nothing less than fireworks.
Shout out to Al Farouk Aminu, because I know he listens to us in Sports TV. Shout out to Al Farouk, for real. He came out to play 4 for 5. He only missed one shot, and that was a 3. This dude was flawless on the floor. Him and McCollum outside of Lillard helped carry this situation. And these guys, all three of them, had over 40 minutes played. So Scott knew what horse to ride, literally, with the Kentucky Derby being ran yesterday. I had to get that out there. I had to put the horse ride. I had to. These guys are playing good basketball right now. I just worry, one, if they get caught up in the hype right now. Two, with Steph Curry coming back, if Steph does come back, can they defend all of the shooters that will be around the perimeter? And three, they cannot lose this home court situation. They can't, because they will not, if the Golden State Warriors win this game four, they will not go back to Oakland. And I know as much as Dame wants to show off in front of his home city, because he's an Oakland guy, it won't happen. It won't happen. But shout out to Scott, the head coach, for, you know, going with the guys that were working. And two, Al Farouk Aminu, I think that you probably were the X factor in the gasoline to help this team keep going. And I know you might be listening, too, so I got to get that one out there, Farouk. I got to. Okay. Now, I've sat on this far long enough that we dwindle close to the time ending. Nacho, I'm going to come to you. There was a song
Derby
back
time.
In, like,
I'm just joking.
I mean, we can talk about Nike. You know, we can talk about Nike horses and all of the horses. You know, falling all over the place, stuff like that. We can get into that, man. That just ain't me. I don't find that a sport. I don't.
Me neither, brother. Me neither, brother.
I just find it's a whole bunch of big money involved in that joint, and there's a bunch of millionaires sitting up there hoping that they can get some more millions that happen in 5 minutes. A five-minute million-dollar thing. That's what I call it, the Kentucky Derby. Now, I don't know how to address this situation. I know there was a song that came out in like 92, 93. I remember it vividly. It was a remade song called It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to a Mere Chin. Oh, my goodness. Now, this out of the gate, that, like, I was like, okay. The last fight that Canelo lost was up against Floyd, in which he had a problem with a boxer that stayed on the outside and made it difficult for him to land those bombs. First two rounds, Amir Khan comes out with the game plan, stays away from him. He has a longer reach, making it difficult for Canelo to land anything. Great game plan. Virgil Hill, tip my hat to you for two damn rounds.
Really?
Third round came, Canelo got confidence. Fourth round came, Canelo was landing. Fifth round came, it looked like Khan's legs were leaving him. The sixth round came, I said, now I was watching this with my cousins. I ordered it myself, and I'm glad I did it. I said, his legs are not underneath him. If Canelo, I swear to God on my father's grave. The punch before he got knocked out, I said, if Canelo lands another power shot, Khan is getting knocked out. He knocked saliva and snot out of this boy's face the next power shot when I said it. Literally knocked the boy out. Out cold. So, Nacho, I'll go there. Your thoughts on this fight and how things went down.
Oh, my goodness. Real quick, if you didn't catch the David Lemieux fight right before it, go check it out. I have an interesting source and a little bit of insight that David Lemieux Canelo might be the next fight. Just a little snippet. This fight, again, I'm sitting there with a couple boxing enthusiasts, a couple boxing casuals, and a couple people that only know about, you know, Muhammad Ali and Hagler and guys that haven't watched boxing since, you know, the 80s. And we're watching this fight, and I'm sitting there before the fight saying this is going to be a knockout. Canelo's too big. Canelo is going to just, you know, dominate. And Canelo did everything I didn't expect him to do in the first round, which was feel out Khan, let Khan do what he's going to do, work him a little. When we're watching the fight, I'm sitting there. It's early, maybe round two, middle of round three. And somebody says, this reminds me of the Mayweather fight. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, it kind of does. And as I'm watching it, it reminds me of the Mayweather fight with one exception. If you go back and watch the fight again, and I know it was a quick fight, only six rounds. If you watch the beginning rounds, Khan, the speed, he's getting there, he's tagging him, he's backing out. But Canelo's landing body shots. Not a lot. It's not a tremendous amount, but they're hard, they're punishing, and they're body shots. Watch the first rounds against Floyd, and he's not landing very much of anything. The difference, or the differential I see when we compare the two fights, because when we talk about Canelo and his fighting experience, Mayweather and Amir Khan are the two fighting styles that are similar compared to everyone else, walking forward and trying to box him. Get all up on him and smother him, so to speak, and it didn't work out for those guys. But Floyd Mayweather, it worked out for him. Khan, the problem with it, what I saw, like I said, the body shots were coming in. He was making connections. Khan was protecting his head. He was moving his head back. He was not getting punched in the head very much, but he was taking a lot of body damage. And as I'm watching this, I'm saying, you know, it looks good for Khan. I've given Khan one and two. I gave Canelo three. I think I gave Khan four. If I'm not mistaken, on my cards, Khan was winning the fight. So watching this fight, I can see Khan doing what you need to do tactically to outbox Canelo. He's winning rounds, and he's not taking very much head punishment. The problem I saw with it was he was getting a lot of body work done to him. There was a stat line around round four, round five, where the head shots were tremendously in Khan's favor, but the body shots were tremendously in Canelo's favor. So it was only a matter of time. We all know you want to break down something very big and tall. You take out the legs, and the way you do that is you work the midsection. When it pertains to Khan, you want to take out his speed. You want to take away his ability to move around quickly. You work on the midsection. I watched Canelo for 4.5 rounds methodically take out the midsection. Then for the last round and a half, he looked for his shot, and he found it. I'm thoroughly impressed with what I saw Canelo, thoroughly impressed with what I saw with Khan, with the exception of the knockout. If he's able to avoid the body shots, he's able to move quicker, get on his feet, back out of those, this might be a totally different fight. However, Canelo has gotten better. Canelo was able to move forward. That extra step, step forward to land the body punch that he wasn't getting in the previous fight, he's now getting. So it was a fight from what I saw from beginning to end. It was exciting, and not only from beginning till end, but both fighters seemed to have a game plan that worked. Canelo's game plan was just that much better, and he's that much better of a fighter now. The weight differential, the weight size, you know, to me, those two guys look the same in the ring. The power, we could say, is tremendously different. Canelo's got that. But as it pertains to the size of the body, both of those men looked about the same end of the ring. I'm not going to give to the fact that Canelo or that Khan jumped up two weight classes. He's too small. He looked fine in that ring with Canelo. Again, I think if he had the wherewithal or you know, the skill level to back out or to get away from those body punches, have a miss, block them, whatever, this might have been a different story. But Canelo, great fight. Again, Virgil Hunter and Khan, the strategy was brilliant. Canelo was just a little bit better, able to land those power body shots at the beginning of the fight for me. But again, I was enthralled by it. I was really looking forward to it. And then, of course, what everyone, I think the most exciting fight of the night was after, when we had the two fighters that we all would love to see in the ring at the same time, Triple G, Canelo. The words that were uttered is, you know, excuse my French. I know Mr. Tommy's already let loose today, but this is what we do. We don't fucking run from anyone. This is a fight. Are you ready? I believe it's let's get this done. So Canelo is in the ring predominantly saying, I'm not scared. I'm not running. I fear no man. Let's do this. Triple G's been saying that for years. Hopefully their promoters, hopefully their handlers can get this done. Because to me, a lot of times, we look at boxers, we look at them, and we say, you're running from a fight. You're not trying to fight. When a lot of us forget the fact that they've got 2 to 3, you know, guys behind them making majority of their decisions for them. Yes, they have an input. Yes, they say what they want to say. But it's the job of the promotion and the handlers to pick the best, you know, physical, mental, and money fight for these fighters. Hopefully they figure out this is the best fight. I tweeted it last night. WBC, HBO, please take my money. I will pay $100 for Triple G and Canelo next weekend, this weekend, you know, June, July, all the way up until December. Make it happen this year. And let's see two real 160 contenders fight, give all the belts to one guy. I'm ready for it.
I just hope they sit on it till a weekend named December 10th comes around, because I'll be in Vegas, you know, and that'll be my birthday, you know. So like, boxing world, can you do that for me? I have more for a date to be December 10th. It's already been bad enough, because that's always a fight week out of Vegas. That's why I love it during go out there. It's always a fight week. And last year, I fell into the McGregor and Aldo fight, so just watching how Ireland took over Vegas was absolutely haywire. But you took away the Sean Porter and Thurman fight. Well, Thurman, you know, suffered an injury or whatever. So please, boxing world, I don't know who it is, if it be Oscar or if it's Al, I don't know who's setting this up. Like, just for me, like one for the team, one for me. That's all I want. So if I could be out there, and I'll go. I'll go to the fight. I swear I will. Tommy, your thoughts on the fight? If you've seen the highlights or heard about the situation, the right hook or straight, I don't even know if that's that. I say straight right. Okay, he leaned in on it and gave it to him. That wasn't really a hook. So I'll give him a straight. Heard around the world. He literally, listen, all of the moisture that you see flying was not the majority of his spit. That was the snot coming out of Amir Khan's nose. Literally, I said, knock the snot out of this guy. Your thoughts on this fight?
I have nothing to say. I didn't watch it.
Okay.
I watched the caps and went to bed because of the. I was so medicated with this pinched nerve. I struggled to stay awake to watch the rest of the caps game.
I think I have the highlight on my wall. If you need to, just press play. I think so. I gotta go check. But disgusting stuff. Disgusting stuff.
And real quick, before we get away from it, if you want to look at what Canelo did, and a lot of people, I don't know why, but I've heard some people call it a lucky punch. I know, as ridiculous as that sounds. Watch the James Kirkland fight against Canelo, and you see the feint with the left come up top with the big right hook, knock him out, cold. This one's really fast. You can't see it in regular speed. You really can't. It's hard to tell. Slow it up. Watch it again. Same thing. It's not as big as a hook as the Kirkland fight. A left feint. You see the arms and the hands straighten up and go down for Amir Khan, and then that straight right comes over the top. It was a well-executed, well-planned, not lucky shot by Canelo. I'll watch it again and again. And if you did miss it like Tommy, either you were medicated and whatever, or you couldn't catch it, replay next Saturday on HBO. Catch it. It's a great fight.
Yeah, I'm actually looking for the link. I didn't put it up, but I'm surely trying to find it for my brother Tommy, for real. I'm just going to find the sixth round so you can see how bad that this stuff goes. But I'm warning you, back away from your screen because you might get snot on you. This is how bad that punch is, like literally. And even watching how Bayless was waving over him and basically saying he's out, and Amir Khan was awake, but all he could do was breathe. This is the one thing that I have against Amir Khan. Amir Khan, not drop down to 147. Go to 140, man. Go to 140 or 147, wherever you see fit. But there's big punches in 147, and I don't know if you're ready for that, because there was. I like the phrase that Teddy Atlas said. He said his whiskers, and I agree. His whiskers cannot take a punch. We still remember what happened with Bredis, where the guy laid him out in his first loss. Then looking at what Danny Garcia did to him, dispatched him with a knockout. And this one right here, let me tell you something. In boxing, once these fighters find that button, wherever it is, when you get hit in that same spot, you always get laid out. Ask Roy Jones. Roy Jones is getting knocked out. Roy Jones got residency in Russia to fight guys overseas in Russia, and he's still getting knocked out. Like, so no. Like, Amir Khan, I respect your hand speed. You got great skill in the ring. I claim you being a great boxer. But if you can't take a punch and everybody's finding that spot, I think it's going to be tough for you to proceed. Okay. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you, in which I need a winner in both games today. First, starting with Atlanta and Cleveland. I think they both said sweep. But if you guys have a change of heart, if you're going to show some love for Georgia, please do. You can. And also with the nightcapper, with the Spurs and the Thunder going at it, can the Thunder even the series, or do the Spurs go up 3-1? And put the Thunder in a formidable situation. I need plugs and closeouts from both of you. Tommy, I'll let you start it up.
Yeah, good show, everybody. I need Joe Johnson and Dwan Dane to please stand up, play. I still got faith in you all to win. I think it's tomorrow night. Still not counting the Heat out. It's going to be big if Whiteside's out. Good show, and happy Mother's Day to everybody. And Cleveland wins. I will not be watching it. I'll be watching my Nationals and Cubs. And I think, oh, man, I'll go Oklahoma City, but I'm not, it's not, I don't have a whole lot of faith, but I think they'll have just enough to win.
Okay, Mr. Silver, do you have a change in this story for Atlanta, or do Atlanta pack their things in their own locker room and look forward to this upcoming fall, or is there more light in this tunnel? And the nightcapper game with the Thunder hosting the Spurs, who do you like and why? And I also need a plug and close out also. Did we lose Mr. Silver at the end of the show?
No, you didn't. I was reading something and I had it on mute. And I was reading out loud to myself. Sorry about that. The Thunder Spurs series is a great series. Again, Cleveland, they're sweeping, so there's no need to go into that. The Thunder Spurs series. This is Gotti Ward. This is Bradley Provodnikov. This is, you know, big fight potential. With both guys, or in this case, both teams throwing large haymakers, knocking down, getting up, throwing another haymaker. So to me, this is a, you know, slip them up, toss them up. I'm going with the home team tonight. I think that's the only reason why I'm going with them. I think both teams can win. You know, both teams can win by 30 tonight. Both teams can dominate. Whatever, you know, nothing surprises me on either of these two teams. It's so hard to call now. So I'm just going to go with the home team. I think Oklahoma City comes out. They get the victory, take this to a tie series back in San Antonio. And Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. There's a great show going back and forth. It's just all kinds of fun. Again, thank you. Say it again. Oh, I'm sorry. All kinds of fun going back and forth and everything. You know, we talk about, you know, I don't want to call it a not real sport because these men really play it and it's really there's championships involved. And, again, I keep talking about it. We don't really talk about it much because I know not very many people follow it. You know, the AFL, Arizona Arena Football League, again, I'm going to keep pumping this because it's such a fun game. I mean, I watch them all, and it's just very family-friendly, fun, exciting, and it's just, you know, I feel like they should pay me for the amount of exposure I'm pumping, but it's just great. Again, Arizona Rattlers, they're you know, one of the top two teams in the AFL, you know, and, you know, they lost to the other top team, the Orlando Predators, this last weekend, and that's just one of those things that I enjoy because, you know, you never know what you're going to get. These teams, again, it's football. We all know it's a smaller field. We all see it. We've all seen it once or twice, but when you got scores in the 60s and 70s and you're going back and forth, again, they should start paying me. I'm gonna figure out a way they can pay me. But this is really one of the fun things to do on the weekend, especially if you're like Tommy and you've got no playoff teams except the, you know, NHL, which no one watches right now going on. So I'm just kidding, Tommy. Just joshing you. I know you got on me today. I'm just messing with you. But, you know, if you've got nothing else to do over the weekend or if you're bored and you're looking for some fun to have, it's cheap, it's great. Go check it out if you've got a local arena football league. They need your support. Anything else, you know, boxing was fun. NBA was fun this weekend. NHL, as less love as they're getting, these playoffs are fun to watch and these playoffs are going. And I'm super, super excited to keep watching these, especially when it gets to the Stanley Cup. But, again, it's just, you know, so much going on. You know, I know we haven't had any NFL talk, but I'm sure we'll get that going up here in the next month or two with OTAs and training camps. But, man, great show again. The brunch was awesome. Can't wait for tomorrow. And again, Black and Red, pull it off for me, please, man. I need another one. I'm sure we'll get back into that tomorrow. But, man, this great weekend in general, a lot of fun, a lot of great sporting events. And, you know, Chicago Cubs looking for the sweep. Arizona Diamondbacks looking for the sweep, and there's a couple other teams I believe out there looking for sweeps. And, you know, baseball's fun, it's in live of action, so I know this was a long closeout, but again, thank you guys so much. It's a great show, and I enjoyed it all. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. My mom, children of my mother's, Ty's mom, Tommy's mom, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. You know,
best of day for you guys. Get those brunches and those expensive gifts out.
That's right, man. Everybody, mom, man. I said everybody. Everybody across the globe, man. You got a mom. Happy Mother's Day to them. Yeah, Lana, y'all might as well start packing stuff up before the game. Like if y'all want to get a jump on everything, just pack up stuff. Just put stuff in a bag and just get ready because the inevitable is about to happen. If you watch 46 damn three-pointers get shot, especially in the Phillips Arena, I don't understand how you guys are going to get out of your own way. Oklahoma City, I have nowhere else to go, man. I have nowhere else to go. This is home for me, man. This is home, man. I was there since Seattle. I was there in the move. All the people in Oklahoma City, I was there before you. I was a free agent and still stay with the team, man. So all I can scream is those two words, Thunder up, man. But I really feel like Pop may have a trick up his sleeve again. They did a good job in watching Aldridge not go off. So that's another thing, man. But I need the turnovers need to stop. Deion Waiters and Roberson, y'all got to be able to do something. Like something has to give, man. Something has to give. If not, these are the counting days of seeing where Kevin Durant is going to lay his head at from here on out. And this is how I feel about the situation. What'd you say?
South Beach.
I knew it. See, Sports City, look, and I left Tommy alone. See, I don't even, you know what, I'm not even getting involved. I won't. I'll leave everything alone. I won't at all. I won't even follow into that. But, see, Joe Johnson, they think they funny. I don't even pick with dudes. I let them do what they need to do, man. They went and got high in the middle of the kitchen. This is the kitchen. They get high in here regardless, man. Even if I don't even set it up for them to go crazy, they go crazy anyway. And then next thing you know who the fall guy will be at the end of the show? Timeless.
Ty?
Sports City Chef, yes, sir.
Oh, no, I was answering the question for you. My bad.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Don't worry. I'm still cooking a little bit. I got the pot to a simmer now. They can enjoy the rest of these dishes. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We will be back here tomorrow, Monday night, sport wrapping things up. I'm going to be in a better tune. I'm not even saying I'm being hopeful. That's it. I don't have nothing else to say right now. On that note, every lady out there that's listening that has a child in the world, happy Mother's Day. I don't want to overlook the situation at all. I'm going to make sure I'm stressing it. That's that. My grandma, happy Mother's Day. You the last grandparent I got left, so you know I got to give it to you also. All the ladies in my life that have a child, happy Mom's Day. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Ow. Welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours with facts, and that's a fact, yeah.